No, Nathan didn't forget, I want to thank Nathan because he took over my preaching, which I was supposed to have done last Sunday because I was still recovering. So I told him I'd preach this afternoon. And also want to thank Noah for taking the first prayer on such short notice, and you did a good job. So I'm going to start off, first of all, with a little bit of history. We're going to be talking about the Tet Offensive. That was in 1968, and that was a pivotal turning point for the Vietnam War. Militarily, the U.S. won that battle. Politically, they lost the war. And for those that don't know, during the 68 Tet Offensive, there was a truce between the North and the South Vietnam, and the North took the opportunity to send over 100,000 troops across into South Vietnam, and they struck multiple targets at the same time. And so that's what you saw if you watched the 6 o'clock news. The enemy attacking the American consulate. All the major cities were under attack. But in the end, it cost the North greatly. Out of the over 100,000 men that were sent over, they lost over 60,000 men in a period of 28 days. That's how long the battle lasted. And every inch of ground that they took was retaken by the American troops and the South Vietnamese troops. And so why is this important? Well, for me, this marks the 50th year of the Tet Offensive. In 1968, I was there as a young Marine, and I did a lot of growing up that year. I did a lot of growing up those first 28 days. And out of the 250 Marines that went over with me, there were only 20 of us after the first 30 days. And out of those 20, only 5 came back. And so with this being the 50th anniversary, I've seen a lot on the news, and people are always asking me, you know, what it was like. And you know, it just brings back a lot of memories, bad memories. And my declining health over the past 5 years hasn't really helped much. And so I was feeling sorry for myself. You know, woe is me. Woe is me. And in this age, even the greatest of saints experiences some type of darkness. You know, even John the Baptist, who had proclaimed Jesus as someone that was so above him that he couldn't even fasten his sandal. When he was in jail, he sent a message to Jesus. Are you the one? Are you the one, or shall we wait for someone else? None of us are spared from sorrow and oppression. And most of us suffer agonizing afflictions at some point in our lives, and we will experience bad seasons. And this is a perfect opportunity for Satan to lure us away from service to the Lord. If we focus on all that's wrong in my life, all the things that, you know, I go back and think, I should have done this or I should have done that, Satan's going to take opportunity of that. And even when we know the truth and we believe that God's in charge, there can still be a lot of us that feel the anxiety. And we sometimes feel that we're totally alone. We're the only ones fighting this battle. And because we concentrate on the things we can't change, it's easy to become defeated, to become drained, to become impatient, or even to become cynical. When we allow fear to creep into our hearts, we lose focus. We lose focus of who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. And one of my good friends, Colonel Wilbur Smith, he and I go back a long time. And I talk to him a lot of times because I feel I've got a good relationship with him that I can talk to Smitty and tell him what's going on in my life. And so there I was, you know, woe is me. And he looks at me and says, why are you spending so much time on things that you can't change? And it kind of surprised me because I thought he was going to have sympathy with me. But he said, why? Why are you spending time on things you can't change? Look at the good things you've got. You've got a good wife. You've got good kids. You've got good grandkids. You've got good friends. Look to the future. Look toward the things that you can change. And so I worked up this lesson because I know that there may be some here that are going through the same issues that I've gone through. But to begin with, we need to remember what God has done for me and for you. That's where we start off. Remembering what God has done. In Colossians 1:12, the writer says, give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. And again in Romans 5, he says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And finally in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become righteous of God in him. So God has qualified us into his kingdom. And God did this at a time when, you know, we had guilt in our lives. We were all sinners and were falling short of the glory of God. But God still remembered us. God still made it clear that I want you for my kingdom. And he has given us what we can't earn by ourselves. We cannot purchase a place in heaven. We can't get into heaven by just doing good deeds. It is only because God allowed Christ to die as a substitute for us on the cross that we are qualified to be members of his kingdom. In Colossians 1:13, it says, For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And again in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 4 through 6, he says, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the mind of unbelievers so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants of Jesus' sake. For God has said, let your light shine out of darkness. God has changed our status and our allegiance. He has taken us out from a lost world, and he has brought us into his world. And again, this is not anything that you or I could have done in and of ourselves. Somebody had to do it for us. You know, when Christ died on the cross, he fulfilled that promise. He fulfilled that nature for us. Again, in Colossians 1:14, it says, "For in him who we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin." God has redeemed us. And everyone here and in this world is in need of redemption. And it's all done at a price. You know, we talk about redemption as being the freedom of at a price. I could not pay that price. You cannot pay that price. The world cannot pay that price. But Jesus did. He took all the sin of the world upon him as he was led to that cross and died there. So we need to ask ourselves, why are you spending time on things that are irrelevant, things that you can't change? Look at the good things that God has done for you. In Micah 7, verses 18 through 20, the writer says, "Who is a God like you who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious acts of the remnants of his possession? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in unchanging love. He will again have compassion on us. He will treat our iniquities, thread our iniquities under his foot. Yes, you will cast all the sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and unchanging love to Abraham, which you swore to our forefathers from the days of old." So God has set us free from the law of sin and death, Romans 8:2. He has freed us from bondage to the fear of judgment, Romans 8:15. And God has canceled our sin through the death of Christ for our sins, Galatians 3, verses 10 through 13, and 1 Peter 2, verse 24. And God has erased our sins, Colossians 2, 14. God has forgiven us. And this is not because of anything that we have done, but solely because he loved us, that he allowed his son to die for us. And God's forgiveness is matchless. He forgives because that is his character. And he forgives completely. Not just a little part. Not just half of my sin, but completely. He forgives because he has sacrificed. He has sacrificed his son. And he rejoices to forgive. As I looked at all these things that God has done for me and for you, how dare I spend time feeling sorry for myself? Because when I feel sorry for myself, what does that do to these things that God has done for us? Does it just make it simple chopped liver? Is it that unimportant? No. No. These are some of the good things that God has done for us, and we need to remember that. When difficult times come, we need to remember that. Another thing that I want to look at is that there is work to be done. John 14:12 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the work that I do." And I think that these words bear a lot on our lives. If we believe in Jesus, then we need to be ready to do that work that needs to be done. And we need to remember that no text says, whoever believes in me. But it is the believers that are going to do the work. Jesus was here for a short period of time. The responsibility now falls on us. And what does it mean to do the work when Jesus said, to do the work that I do? Well, first of all, we need to spread the gospel. We need to lead people to faith. In Matthew 28:18-20, we have the Great Commission. It says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Again, you know, this thought is again, repeated in Mark 16:5, where it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Now, we might say, well, you know, the responsibility of evangelism falls on the evangelist, falls on the elders, it falls on those Christians that are better qualified than myself. And I don't see that Jesus made any conditional on what it takes to do his work. If you're a believer, you do his work. It's that simple. You know, we may ask, well, does God really want all people to be saved? The answer is yes. But the true question is, does God want me to lead others to his Son so that they may be saved? And we need to do some examination of ourselves. Now, we're told also to be the light of the world. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. Is my light shining? And I assure you that if I'm spending time feeling sorry for myself, that light is very dim, if it's there at all. And like I said, it's very easy for us to be overcome by trials and tribulations. But we need to remember who we are, the children of God, what our responsibilities are. Now, another thing that must be done is we need to help a fellow believer get back on the right track. Galatians 6, verses 1 through 3 tells us, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one look into yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. You know, I certainly wish that we all lived in a perfect world and that in any congregation of the Lord's people, there were never any people that had fallen away or had fallen to sin. But the reality is, we're not perfect. We all fall short. And if I'm spending time feeling sorry for myself, who is going to lead that brother back to Christ? Am I going to sit back and say, you know, I just have so much things on my mind, I'm going to let somebody else do it? And maybe that somebody else is thinking, you know, I've got so many things on my life, I'll just let somebody else have it. And as a result, Christians fall through the cracks because we think somebody else will do it. Another thing we need to remember is we need to be ready for every good work and show a pattern of good works in our lives. In Ephesians 2:10, Paul says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." And again in Titus 2:7 says, "In all things show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity and doctrine, dignified." And again, you know, when the thing is about me, when I'm concerned about what I'm going through, it's very easy for me not to see what is going on. You know, we've all heard the cliche, you can't see the forest through the trees. Well, sometimes we put blinders on ourselves that we can't see anything else going around us because the focus is only on me. But we need to be ready. There are people out there that want to know the truth. We need to get to the stage where we say, "Lord, here I am, send me." I can't do that if I'm drowning in my depression or anxiety or just thinking about how it's not fair, you know. Every single problem that I can think of always falls on me. We also need to remember that time is short. James 4:14 tells us that we are just a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. My father-in-law lived to be almost 98 years old. But what is 98 years old compared to eternity? It is indeed a very short lifespan that we have. And the thing that we need to remember is one of these days we're not going to have the benefit of tomorrow. And we shouldn't take time for granted. And we shouldn't spend or we shouldn't waste time thinking about what could have been. It is the assessment that we need to do in our lives each and every day. Don't feel sorry for yourself. And in the scripture reading that we had is that there are things that we can't change. You know, Matthew 6:27 says, "And who by being worried can add a single hour to his life?" And again, it's Matthew 6, verse 34 says, "So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." I know that we all have moments in our lives when we think back and say, "Well, if I had only done this, or if I had only done that." Our lives, you know, when we have that type of attitude, it's like worrying or grieving over spilt milk. Milk spilled. There's no way you can get it back. It's already gone. Same thing with yesterday. Yesterday is gone. I can't change what trials and tribulations I went through 50 years ago. I can't change the decline in my health. But I need to learn that there are more important things. Because when we struggle, we are all facing, at that moment, however difficult it looks, however impossible the situation seems, we need to remember God's love for you and me. And we need to trust that with God all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. When God is there, there is always hope. When God is there, no matter how bad things look, God can change that. Nothing is impossible without, nothing is impossible for God. He hears our prayers. He knows our anguish. He knows what we're going through. But we need to remain faithful. We need to take the example that Paul gives us in Philippians 3, verses 13 through 14. Where he says, "But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward for what lays ahead, I press on forward to the goal and the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So I recommend that whenever we feel that life is too much, that we're the only ones going through this, that we pick up the scriptures and we read the Old Testament. That we read the New Testament. Reread Job. If anybody had promised to complain, Job did. Even to the point to where his wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" That's how bad things, Job's wife saw things. Just curse God and die. But Job remained faithful. We, as God's children, need to remain faithful. That doesn't mean that we're going to have an easy life. We're always going to have problems. We're always going to have trials and tribulations. But one day we are going to be in heaven with our Father, for He will wipe away every tear, and there will be no more death. This is the promise that we have. And we need to remember that. We need to remember the good thing that God has done for us. And that everything that happens in our lives happens for a reason. That God is truly in control. And we need to stop believing in the lies of Satan. Because he does take every opportunity to just put the knife in your back and turn very slowly. And every time something else comes up, he turns a little more. Whispers in your ear, "See? I told you. He doesn't care about you." And sometimes we give in. But brothers, I'm here to tell you that there is hope. That there is hope in the God who has said that we are His children. The condition is that we obey and we remain faithful. And to never forget who is in charge. And when we have and look at everything that God has done for us, the future that has been prepared for us, the house that Jesus said he was going to build for us, when he told his disciples, "My Father's house has many rooms, and I go prepare a room for you." And me. That is the encouragement that we need to look at. Because everything else is one of Satan's lies. And his goal is to keep from getting to heaven. So, if today you've let the cares of the world overcome you, that's, you know, we offer a prayer. We as children of God can help you bear those burdens. If you've never obeyed the gospel, then it's very easy to become despaired in the trials and tribulations that the world brings upon you. But the good news is there is salvation, and today is the day of salvation. If you've never obeyed the gospel, this is a good opportunity to do so. You've heard the message. Now you need to ask yourself if you believe what God has said in Scripture. And if you do, then you have to repent. You have to be baptized, and then we spend the rest of our lives walking the straight, narrow path. Because that is the only way that we will reach the fulfillment that God has promised to us. Think, consider, and give thoughts to the blessing. And if you're in need of being baptized or just need the prayers of the congregation, we are here to help you in any way we can. If you'll stand, we'll